It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Forty-7 minutes remain on this Halloween edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bullbarch. We're glad that you've dialed in today. Kids are getting excited. It's almost trick-or-treat time.
Yeah, a lot of people delayed. I don't know if you heard me mention or not, but 480 westbound, eastbound parking lot right now. Use caution if you're traveling that way.
Well, I think people are also excited because they know Sean Dunnigan is on the line right now. We're going to return to the hotline and bring in Mr. Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, happy Halloween to you. I know that you'll probably be working tonight, but I've got to ask, because you and I used to celebrate Halloweens together at Bowling Green. What is the best Halloween costume that you ever donned? What's the best one that you ever put together and wore yourself?
Ooh, that makes me go back a bit. I tell you what I would be this year is, have you seen, you know, the inflatable T-Rexes?
Yes, oh yeah.
I saw an inflatable eagle.
An inflatable eagle, huh?
Yes, I either would be that or Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, okay, Bob Ross. Very nice. I hear the blow-up T-Rexes, those aren't really around as much anymore. They say those are prehistoric.
It's awful.
It's awful. Is it possible for me to hang up?
Yes. Well, you got to hang with us now.
Can I hang up?
Oh, you're not allowed to hang up. You're stuck with me for at least the next 45 minutes. But regardless. Well, Dunny, all Halloween puns and jokes aside, my friend, obviously some scary news as far as Urban Meyer's health is concerned. And, you know, the cyst is something that's been widely discussed on his brain. How serious is this health issue? And any idea how that could affect Coach Meyer after the season is over and done with?
Well, the cyst is nothing new, as you kind of alluded to. We've known about it. He's talked about it earlier this year that, you know, that he's had this before. He kind of opened up a little bit more about it to a couple newspaper reporters. So that's really why it's really big in the news now and today and yesterday. You know, it affects him. He gets some headaches, he said, and that the first time it really affected him during a game was the game against Indiana when after a touchdown he went down to both knees. He's been asked about his health when it comes to, will he be able to continue to serve as the Ohio State head football coach, especially after this season? He says he plans on it. He says he wants to. So yeah, you got to take him at his word. So I don't think it will be anything that too worrisome when it comes to that. But you know, you never know, and you never want to play with somebody's health, and especially when it comes to something that has to do with the brain. He's had a surgery once before. He says he doesn't plan on having surgery again, but that being said, I don't think anybody really plans on having surgery, especially brain surgery. It's kind of see where it goes. He's on medication, and just kind of, it's kind of a wait and see, and see if it actually does affect him any more when it comes to games and everything else like that.
It seems sort of odd. I mean, he says it's not much to worry about in that sense when, I mean, essentially collapsed at IU, like you said. I would think that'd start to draw a few irons from some of the assistant coaches, at least, to be worried about it.
You look at that, you go, wow, he fell to the ground.
Yeah.
But he was back up. He never missed, really, I guess you could say. Yeah. He never missed a play coaching. So I think it's just one of those where you just kind of take it by incident, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We haven't had a chance to talk to the – or I should say, I haven't had a chance to talk to any of the assistant coaches,
sure,
about it and hear what they have to say. But, you know, when we've talked to them in the past about kind of stuff like this and Urban Meyer coming back and all that, they're 100% behind them, that's for sure.
Donnie, it seemed like that's really been the biggest story surrounding the program the last few days, and that really dominated all the talks throughout the bye week. And, you know, for the first chunk of the bye week, it was the idea that the Buckeyes are trying to ramp things up again and get back to their winning ways. Were there any other developments surrounding the team outside of Coach Meyer's health issues during this bye week? Anything else that really kind of stood out to you?
Not really. It was more or less just, you know, everything with the bye week and seeing what takes place. And, you know, nobody, to the best of to my knowledge or our knowledge, nobody got no trouble off the field or anything like that. Everyone seemed to be good to go. And it seems like everything's fine as far as leading into this week against Nebraska.
Well, missed tackles over the last couple of weeks, that's been a real big issue. Do you think that was isolated to those last couple of weeks, or do you think that that's part of a much bigger problem for this Ohio State defense?
I think it's a much bigger problem with this Ohio State defense. You know, as we talked last week, 20 missed tackles against Purdue. Greg Schiano says he believes at least 10 of them were in the fourth quarter, and you can count at least three on one play when Rondell Moore kind of put the game away with that touchdown to make it 42 points on the board for Purdue. I think that having the linebackers line up really close to the line and come through the line as far as putting on pressure, that's really taking them out of play. They don't need to get blocked because they're out of the play already. And I think opposing offenses have read that over the last eight games on film, and they're attacking that, and they're doing a great job at attacking that. You got to remember, Ohio State, they lose players year in and year out to the NFL draft. That for players that don't stay early, they've been able to in the past keep getting five stars and four stars that have been able to come in and replace those guys. You know, that's hard to do. Some of the players that are now starting haven't really been able to do that, and it might take them a year or two to be able to replace the players that they replaced. I think they should be improving after the bye week. I think Nebraska, as head coach Scott Frost said, this is the wrong week to be playing Ohio State because they will be out for revenge after that loss and then having the bye week.
Do you think so? Because I keep looking at what they've done, and again, their last game was Bethune-Cookman. Doesn't mean a whole lot, but they took Northwestern into overtime, just came up short against the Wildcats, who seems to be doing pretty well over there in the Big Ten West. The more I look at at Nebraska and what they've done over the last few weeks here, it seems they're starting to get it together under Scott Frost, and that's a little scary to me.
And that's what Urban Meyer said on Monday or Tuesday, that, you know, hey, these guys are, you know, they're doing pretty dang good stuff. You can't really look at the first six games. You look at the last two, and they really seem to be hitting on all cylinders. Their quarterback was a 2018 quarterback recruit here for Ohio State. Or, I'm sorry, 2017 recruit. So he's playing incredibly well for the last two games for the Cornhuskers. It's going to be interesting how they play against the Ohio State defense and what the defense is going to be able to do to stop Adrian Martinez and the Nebraska offense.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dunny, we'll bring it back around to the Nebraska game here in just a moment, but I want to at least dive in a little bit to the recently released college football playoff rankings. Are the Buckeyes still okay in the initial rankings released yesterday, or do you think they're a little too far out at this point?
As you look at like what happened in 2014 when the Buckeyes won the national championship, I believe they started 14th or 16th that first week, and they made it all the way up to number four. So being in 10th, this is nothing unheard of to be 10th and then make it all the way up. The team to be worried about it really is LSU, because they're at number three. The team that has started at number three in the college football playoff rankings have never made the top four at the end of the season. So, you know, I think they have more work to worry about than Ohio State does. I think Ohio State's fine. I think if they win out right now, when you look at things, they don't have a quality win. At the beginning of the season, you thought TCU was a quality win, and then they've gone 3-5 for the year. That's not a quality win anymore. Penn State is, I guess, half a quality win. You know, they're up there. They're top 15, but they have two losses, one against Ohio State, another one against Michigan State, which is having their best year. Buckeyes need to play well the last four games, win the last four games handily, including Michigan, to get to the Big Ten championship game, and obviously win that one to even think about the playoffs.
Boy, and to your point on LSU at number three, they've got Alabama this weekend. So,
if you're a Buckeye fan, you're rooting for Alabama, yeah. And it sounds weird, but you're rooting for Michigan to win out. You want Michigan to have one loss when they play Ohio State the 2 days after Thanksgiving, because you want that game to be your marquee win. That game is your marquee win if you win that game for Ohio State.
So you're looking at Alabama, Notre Dame, and Michigan to keep winning.
Absolutely. Notre Dame actually could lose, and that'd be fine. Okay. I think if Notre Dame loses, they are not in.
Okay.
Yeah, because they haven't.
Notre Dame has to be undefeated. If Notre Dame has to be undefeated to make the playoffs. Having one loss, Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship game.
Sure.
So that's kind of really at their detriment.
Would that hurt Michigan though?
No.
Depending on who it is.
Yeah, remember, if Michigan loses to Ohio State, they have two losses.
Sure. That would
automatically eliminate them.
I just mean if Notre Dame, I don't know who they've got left on the schedule, but had they lost to Navy, I don't think that helps Michigan's cause much, does it?
If Notre Dame lost to Navy?
Yeah.
Well, no, but, you know, obviously they beat Navy. You know, Notre Dame,
sure, I get
big,
it.
Tough games are Northwestern this weekend, and they play at USC in a few weeks, I believe, at the end of the season. So those are two Notre Dame's biggest games, and those are the games that Notre Dame has to watch out for.
Gotcha.
I just find it interesting, as we look at these rankings right now, there's always this large outcry, and people just don't feel like playing this thing out over the next 4 weeks here to see what's going to happen. I just don't get the outrage. I mean, sometimes I think people just need something to get upset about. But regardless, I think you're right. If they win out, things should work out okay for the Buckeyes. Now, again, you know, they do have some tougher tests ahead. You know, it depends on what Michigan State team they get. They could get Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. You just don't know which team's going to show up, but that could derail them on their way to that Michigan game also. But it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. Duddy, getting back to Nebraska here, you know, looking ahead to the Cornhuskers, what exactly is it about the Huskers that the Buckeyes should be worried about? I know you alluded to some of those elements a little bit earlier, but is there a facet of the game that Nebraska really excels at that should have the Buckeyes a little bit concerned?
They play a lot like Purdue does, which obviously is very scary for Ohio State. They run the kind of the same type of offense. They have a good running back in Azubo. They have a good wide receiver in Spielman. You know, it will be a very tough matchup. Again, you can't look at Nebraska's record and be, oh, this should be an easy one for Ohio State. It's going to be a very tough game for Ohio State. You know, they will have to come into the shoe at noon on a Saturday. They're wearing their blackout uniforms against the black shirt defense of Nebraska. It's going to be very interesting what happens and how they actually perform. They need to come out, and I think they need to set the tone early in order to get a big win on Saturday afternoon.
Well, along those same lines, Dunny, who specifically for the Buckeyes are you looking at to have a big game on Saturday if the Buckeyes are going to come out on top?
Obviously, offensively, you have to look at the running backs, and if not both of them, at least Mike Weber or J.K. Dobbins to at least explode and have a good game. You need the offensive line to – their pass blocking is fine, but they need to be able to open holes for these running backs to run through. And the running backs need to make the defenders miss. And that's the biggest part about being a running back is finding a hole, getting to the second level, and then you start making people miss. They haven't been able really to do that. Defensively, you have to look at the linebackers, and they have to start playing better and up to their actual potential for the Buckeyes to have a big victory. They can still win, but they need to play extremely well for them to, you know, put up some style points, I guess you could say, and not have Nebraska score as much, especially as much as Purdue did.
All right, Dunny, two quick questions before we cut you loose. Number one, Columbus High School football playoff matchups. There are a lot of big ones. Who are you guys keeping your eyes on Friday night?
Friday night, our Get Set Before Your Bet game of the week is Hilliard Bradley hosting the defending St. Champs Pickerington Central. Should be a great matchup there.
All right, and we've got to close out on this because it is Halloween. When the kids come trick-or-treating at the doorstep of Mr. Dunnigan, what kind of candy are you giving out on Halloween?
There is only one piece of candy that is the best candy of all time on Halloween, and that is Almond Joy. No, I'm just playing. It's Reese's peanut butter cups. Yeah. There's no doubt about Reese's peanut butter cups is the only thing I would give out.
Yeah, Almond Joy. I said you almost lost your spot here on WEOL after that comment there.
Well,
I'm glad you were joking, pulling a little treat on us or a trick on us.
I was pulling a trick to get a treat.
I'll tell you what, though, if you were passing out Almond Joys, I wouldn't say no.
I would.
You would say no.
Oh, that's the worst candy bar ever created. Only thing worse is Mounds because it has no almonds in it.
No, the only thing I think worse is Good and Plenty.
I don't even take a Good and Plenty over an Almond Joy or Mounds. Those are the worst.
I think you're coconuts on that.
Worst candy ever. Really?
See? I knew you would like that. I knew you would enjoy that. Secretly, you're clapping on the inside.
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on. Dunny, whether you're giving out Almond Joys or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, we always appreciate the time here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, my friend. Enjoy Friday night's festivities with a full slate of high school football, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much, and I can't wait to get away from these puns.
Yeah. He believes he's being punished. See? They just keep on coming. Sean Dunning at WBNS-TV in Columbus. What were you saying?
I said, lucky me.
Yes,
puns.
Lucky you. Very lucky you. You know what? You've got a half hour left of this. Time for us to take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return momentarily here on AM 930 WEOL.
High school football playoffs on AM 930 WEOL. The Cleveland Clinic Gridiron Clash. Friday, it's Olmsted Falls at Avon Lake on the radio and at WEOL.com. Also on WEOL.com, Springfield at...